ان شاء الله مختصر درس الحديث هوگا. It'll be a brief lesson of hadith. Brothers requested to come closer ان شاء الله. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم ما بعد إن شاء الله continuing with this chapter of زهد في الدنيا دنيا كأندر زهد كرنا and staying away from the things of the dunya, having less of the things of the dunya. So last week we completed the few ayat of the Quran. So إن شاء الله continuing with the hadith. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وعن عمرو بن عوف الأنصاري رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث أبا عبيدة بن الجراح رضي الله عنه إلى البحرين يأتي بجزيتها فقدم بمال من البحرين فسمعت الأنصار بقدوم أبي عبيدة فوافوا صلاة الفجر مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلما صلى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم انصرف فتعرضوا له فتبسم رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم حين رآهم ثم قال أظنكم سمعتم أن أبا عبيدة قدم بشيء من البحرين فقالوا أجل يا رسول الله فقال أبشروا وأملوا ما يسركم فوالله ما الفقر أخشى عليكم ولكني أخشى أن تبسط الدنيا عليكم كما بسطت على من كان قبلكم فتنافسوها كما تنافسوها فتهلككم كما أهلكتهم متفق عليه. سيدنا Amr bin Auf al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu, he narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah radiyallahu anhu to Bahrain. Yati bi jizyatiha, to bring the jizya from the people of Bahrain. This is after Bahrain had been taken by the Muslims and was under the command of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslims. So the instruction, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah was made the Amir of Bahrain. So he's bringing back the jizya that he's collected from the people of Bahrain. Jizya is a tax which is collected from the people of Bahrain, the non-Muslims. So when the Ansar, they heard about the coming of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah, so they all came. فَوَافَوْ صَلَاةَ الْفَجْرِ Salatul Fajr time, many of the Ansar, remember by this time, Madinatul Munawwara had different masajid. So you had the main masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Masjid al-Nabawi, and then you had many other masajid on the outskirts of Medina. Rasulullah would give permission, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Masjid al-Quba, Masjid al-Qiblatin, which are there today, and there were many other smaller masajid. But on this particular day, everybody was there in Masjid al-Nabawi at Fajr Salah time. So, فَلَمَّا صَلَّى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ انصرف. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam completed the salah, he turned around, فَتَعَرَّضُوا لَهُ, and they were all waiting for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah saw everybody waiting and he realized what they were there for and he smiled when he saw them. And then he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I think you have heard that Abu Ubaidah has brought something from Bahrain. فقالوا, they said, yes, O Messenger of Allah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, abshiru, well, good news, glad tidings, good news. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't reprimand them, because look, the Sahaba were all there and they're all there to collect or take from some of this wealth. But Rasulullah didn't reprimand them and say, oh, you have too much love of the dunya, what are you all doing here? Reason is because the Sahaba were poor. Majority of the Sahaba were poor, majority of them were needy. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam understood these people, they need this wealth. So it's not a bad thing when we know that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is going to distribute wealth, then to go and present ourselves when we are in need of that wealth. So Rasulullah said, abshiru, good news, inshallah you'll get some wealth. And then وَأَمِّلُوا مَا يَسُرُّكُمْ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, however, be hopeful of something which is pleasing to you. So ulama here mention, أَمِّلُوا مَا يَسُرُّكُمْ, meaning be hopeful that Allah Ta'ala will totally remove this poverty from you. Inshallah, a time will come. It's like a premonition or a prediction that a time will come when Allah will remove this need from you. You won't need to come like this. You will be wealthy and you will be financially stable. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained something. Because the Sahaba haven't done anything wrong here. But then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining a very important point after this, that I swear by Allah, مَا الْفَقْرَ أَخْشَى عَلَيْكُمْ. I am not worried about poverty for you. I am not concerned that poverty is going to be something which takes you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and takes you away from the deen of Allah. And this is a reality with people whose iman is strong, their yaqeen in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is intact. Poverty is not a danger. Again, poverty can be a danger. كَادَ الْفَقْرُ أَنْ يَكُونَ كُفْرًا. In some hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, at times poverty can lead one to kufr. But that's for those who are weak of iman. Those who are strong of iman, poverty is not a problem. It's just a difficulty, a barrier, a hurdle upon which they have patience, and then Allah ta'ala's nusra, Allah ta'ala's help comes. So Rasulullah is saying, you sahaba, I'm not concerned that poverty is going to distract you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's remembrance. Rather, poverty will help you connect more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I am worried about is أَخْشَى أَن تُبْسَطَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَيْكُمْ, that the dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open up the dunya for you. And فَتَنَافَسُوا كَمَا بُسِطَتْ عَلَى مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ, the way the dunya was opened in front of those who came before you. So this is my worry, that Allah will make you wealthy and rich and you will have too much money. This is something that I genuinely fear for you. And who is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressing? The Sahaba. So he's saying to the Sahaba, I know you people's yaqeen and iman, inshaAllah, if the tests and tribulations come, you'll be fine. Rather, in front of Rasulullah's eyes, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, many of the Sahaba are poor. Many of them don't have food to eat that day at home. But Rasulullah knows they'll be fine. They'll get through it. But the concern is when money comes. Why? Because فَتَنَافَسُوهَا كَمَا تَنَافَسُوهَا. Because then you will have this desire for this wealth. And you will compete with one another in spending this wealth on things. فَتُهْلِكَكُمْ كَمَا أَهْلَكَتْهُمْ. And then this wealth will destroy you the way it destroyed those who came before you. So مال و دولت کی کمی سے رسول اللہ ﷺ کو کوئی خطرہ نہیں کہ صحابہ جو ہیں ان کی ایمان اور یقین اللہ تعالیٰ پر اتنی مضبوط ہیں کہ مال و دولت کی کمی بھی ہو, ایک دن کا فاقہ بھی ہو, پھر بھی انشاءاللہ ان کی یقین اور صبر سے وہ کام لیں گے. لیکن اگر زیادہ مال ہو جائے تو اس کے وجہ سے رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کا ڈر ہے کہ ان پہ جو ہے انسان کی مطلب زیادہ توجہ ہو جائے گی, اور پھر اس کے بعد اللہ تعالیٰ کی عبادت سے, اللہ کے راستے میں نکلنے سے, going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes harder. And the famous example we find, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings it in Riyadh al-Salihin as well, the famous hadith of Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiyallahu anhu. That when Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik, very the longest hadith probably of Riyadh al-Salihin, that when Sayyidina Ka'b bin Malik radiyallahu anhu in the battle of Tabuk, he didn't go out. And he says, the reason I didn't go out was because Allah ta'ala had blessed me and I was more blessed with wealth than I had been at any other time of my life. I had two shops. I had so much income coming from those shops. I had two houses. And I was just so busy with everything that I said, you know what, I'll go out. Kal nikal jaunga, kal nikal jaunga. Aur phir Huzur sallallahu alaihi wasallam ke saath ja milunga. لیکن جو ہے انسان کا دو بزنسز ہے, ساتھ ساتھ دو گھر ہے جن سے کرائے حاصل, مطلب قیمت حاصل ہو رہی, رقم حاصل ہو رہی ہے. تو فوکسنگ آن آل آف دیز تھنگس, ہی گاٹ سو ڈسٹریکٹڈ بائی دا ٹائم ہی تھاٹ آئی ول گو آؤٹ, ہی ریئلائز دا آرمی از ٹو فار اوے. اینڈ ایون ون رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم ریٹرن ٹو مدینۃ المنورہ, ہی کیم ان فرنٹ آف رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, اینڈ ون سیدنا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم آسکڈ ہم وائی ڈیڈ یو نو گو آؤٹ, دین ہی ٹولڈ ہم دا ٹروتھ, آئی واز جسٹ ڈسٹریکٹڈ ود ایوری تھنگ. So this wealth is a big distraction. Too much wealth. MashaAllah, I have a friend, he's in Holland, MashaAllah, Allah's blessed him with a lot of money. So he's always phoning, I want to invest in this, I want to invest in this, I want to do this, I want to start this business. He's got a lot of money. So he just, you know, he's always, MashaAllah, mutahallik, he's always wanting to invest that money. So this is natural. A person has that wealth, then naturally they're inclined to spend that wealth. And that's why in the hadith Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions, one of the most beloved people in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is someone who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a lot of wealth, but they spend it all in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very hard to do. Because naturally, nafs and shaitan are going to say, you build this wealth, invest it, grow it. Like they say, grow your wealth. It's called barhao, maal ko aur barhao. Where can you spend it to, where can you invest it to make more of that wealth? But a person who takes all of this wealth and gives it. And in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions that the best charity is أن تصدق وأنت صحيح شحيح تخشى الفقر وتأمل الغنى. That the best charity is the charity that you give when you are healthy, when you're healthy and young, meaning you're not old, you're not worried that you're going to die soon. You're young, you're healthy, you've got a full life in front of you according to your own assumption. You're shahihun, you have love of this wealth. You want money, you're worried kids need to pay for this, family need to spend this, need to build a bigger house, need to buy a bigger car. So shahihun, maal ka lalaj. Sabse behtar sadaqa wo hai jo insaan us waqt kharch kare jab wo sehat mand ho aur jab uske andar maal ki lalach ho. Takhsha al-faqr, he's worried that poverty might come upon him. Faqr se darta ho ki agar main zyada kharch kar lu Allah ke raste mein to phir bill kis tarah ada karunga aur phir pata nahi bachon ki fees kis tarah dunga, to ye ek dar hota hai. And wa ta'malu al-ghina, he wants to be rich, he wants to be wealthy aur chahta hai ki maldar rahe. So when the person spends in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that way, this is the best charity. Because he'll feel it much more. Like was this brother, I think he was on social media and stuff a couple of years ago, this brother, Australian brother. He had cancer and then he was passing away. And what was his name? Ali Banat. So he was spending everything in the path of Allah, very inspirational. But the point is, you know, when you've been given a ticking time, that you know, this is it. You've got 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. You know, this is it, finished. This is the last leg of the race. You will spend, because you know you don't have long to live. When a person thinks, pata nahi, 30, 40, 50 saal ho sakta hai, mujhe duniya mein rehna hai, biwi ki fikr hai, bachon ki fikr hai, waldein ki fikr hai, all of these things, to phir Allah ke raaste mein kharch karne se insaan thoda ye karta hai. Chalo, you know, 5 pound dunga, yeah, chalo, 10 pound nahi, 5 pound, pata nahi, 5 pound kafi hai, it's okay for now. Yeah, because a person needs that wealth. So they really feel it. So anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that this wealth is a big trial. Poverty is not as much of a trial for those who have strength in iman, but wealth is a bigger trial. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال جلس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم على المنبر وجلسنا حوله فقال إن مما أخاف عليكم من بعد ما يفتح عليكم من زهرة الدنيا وزينتها. متفق عليه. سيدنا أبو سعيد الخدري رضي الله تعالى عنه, he narrates that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم sat upon the pulpit and we sat around him, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, إن مما أخاف, one of the things which I am most worried about in regards to you people is ما يفتح عليكم من زهرة الدنيا وزينتها, is the fact that the beauty of the dunya, the adornment of the dunya will be opened in front of you. This is something that really worries me. And you see, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's worry was it materialized. Two, three decades, let's say, after the Khulafa al-Rashidun, just look at what damage this wealth did to the Muslims. And then we had kingdoms, like the Khilafah left, and we had kingdoms, and we had Muslims. We see that when the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in didn't have this love of this dunya, and it's something that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu mentioned as well, that نَحْنُ قَوْمٌ أَعَزَّنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ, we are a people Allah has given us honor through Islam. Whenever we try to look for honor and respect in something other than Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will disgrace us. So when so much money was flooding into Medina, the Sahaba, they are the best of generations. But then straight after them, so many, and I was just reading in one of, many of the tabi'un, one of the great tabi'un, who's a tabi'i, someone who's seen a Sahabi. He said to his students that I have met 70 of the Sahaba. If any one of them was alive today, the only thing that you people and them would have had in common is the adhan. If any of those Sahaba were alive today and they saw you, the only thing that you would have had a similarity, and the only thing they would have recognized, sorry, is the adhan. Everything else you people have already changed. Subhanallah. Look at that, was that generation, the golden generation. Imagine now. Imagine if any of the Sahaba were alive today. Abu Ustad used to say this, Mawlana Ikram Sahib, he would say, if Hassan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi were alive today, and this is something that many of the pious predecessors have said, something like this, that if he was alive today, we would call him pagal, we would call him mad, crazy, and he would think we are not Muslims. But this is the reality. Hum itne dur hue Islam se, Islam ki jo akhlaq se, that if those great people were alive today, we would be ashamed. You know, they would look at us and say, we don't want anything to do with this. So they, like they say, old is gold. Everything which is according to the teachings of Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sahaba, the best of generations, we need to live our life in accordance with that. Even recent times, 50 years ago, 100 years ago, many of our great Salafus Salihun, pious predecessors, in the Indian subcontinent, even in the Arab world, many of the great scholars were, you know, you read and you think, subhanAllah, I just wish one of those people was alive so we could take that inspiration. Because these people are all going. They are all leaving the dunya, and who are we supposed to? Nobody's replacing them. These great role models who taught us the sunnah, the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who lived like this with zuhd. Now we study about zuhd, honestly. I've taught this chapter of zuhd about 2-3 years now. Obviously, first time we're doing it here. But I read it and I think, how much of this is my life, really? Like, there were people who had these qualities, and there still are people, inshallah, these qualities will remain, and we do dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala grants us the reality of these qualities. The absolute, you know, no love of the dunya. Dunya means nothing to them. One of the great scholars of the Indian subcontinent, Mawlana Khalil Ahmed Saharanpuri, rahmatullahi alayh. Many days passed by, there was no food which was cooked at home. Nobody knew. He would come out in front of people, and he was very flamboyant in the way he would dress. That he, you know, he had very white, nice clothes. He'd wear a big green amama. He'd wear a big green amama, and he'd come out in front of the people. And green amama is not a bid'ah entirely and all of this. So he would come out. Nobody would know that he's going through this difficulty at home, except this one, obviously his family members, his wife, his children, and one khadim. He had a khadim, an attendant who knew. One day that khadim told some people, your sheikh doesn't have food at home, we need to arrange something. So people brought food. When he said, why are you people bringing me food? They said, oh, your khadim has told us that you don't have anything. He said to the khadim, I don't want you ever to come back into my service again. Go, finished. Your service is finished. You are disclosing my secrets in front of the people. This is how they were. In Bangladesh, we used to have Sheikh Hussein Ahmed Madani, rahmatullahi alayhi, would come. I was listening to a speech of his son, Mawlana Arshad Madani, hafidhullah, who's still alive. He says, my father, he says, Mawlana Arshad Madani is in his 70s. He said, I've never ever seen with these eyes anybody like my father. Never. The amount of poverty we would go through as a family, nobody would know about. And the way he would still present himself, the way he would still do khidmat of deen, me, as an alim, as a scholar, if I went through some poverty or difficulty, you wouldn't see me. I'd disappear. Understandably so. Family responsibilities. Sheikh would be going through poverty and hardship and so much difficulty, but his routine is not changing. His timetable is not changing. And Mawlana Arshad Madani, Habibullah, says that his timetable was the most busiest timetable. He would sleep 2 hours in the day. He would sleep just 2 hours. And the rest of the time, khidmat of the people, tahajjud, salah, his worship of Allah. It was like insane. And when he would, because when he slept 2 hours, sometimes he'd be teaching. And then he'd do this. And this is something that one of Fadlur Rahman, Fadl Rahim Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, older me used to say, because he was a student. He would say that he would sit like this, and then he would kind of just, you know, like he would go into like a slumber, kind of doze off. Just he'd be doing this for a couple of minutes, and then he'd wake up and he'd say, I've had the best sleep. Alhamdulillah, I'm fine. I'm energized. You know, Allah Ta'ala had given them such barakah, such qualities. So these people, he would come to Bangladesh, and he would sit down on the dastarkhan, a big dastarkhan. Bangladesh ke saath hi, mashallah, itne mehman nawazi karte the. They bring so much types of food. He wouldn't eat. He'd sit there speaking to people, talking, asking, how are you, this. He's not touching any of the food. After everybody had finished, everybody has gone, people, I think awam, normal people, they're leaving lots of mess. Even when we have a small dastarkhan here, there's always so much mess left. When everybody had gone, he would walk around the dastarkhan, all the leftover plates that were there, he'd be eating from those plates and finishing off the food. So then his close companions realized, so then nobody used to eat. I mean, from his close companions, they would let the normal people eat because they used to have big dastarkhans spread out on the streets because that's how many people would come. Someone would say, can you do dam and water? Can you give us this? Can you do this? Can you give us some advice? So it'd be hundreds, if not thousands of people. So when the people would go, then Sheikh would stand up with all of his students and they would go around the dastarkhan and they would eat everybody else's leftover food. Even now somebody was mentioning about in Cambridge. Again, he's a scholar, Sheikh Hakim Murad, Abdul Hakim Murad. So, you know, he was a Christian and then he converted to Islam, and mashallah. My point is mentioning these qualities that we can find in these gems. They were saying that we were standing behind Shaykh in a line somewhere. No, Shaykh was standing behind us. There was some event and Shaykh was the main speaker. And Shaykh was standing behind them and at the water dispenser. So everybody was taking the water, drinking from the plastic cups, putting in the bin, drinking plastic cups, putting in the bin. He said, I just was shocked because Shaykh was just standing there like everybody else, you know, ordinarily in the queue. And then when he came to the water dispenser, he didn't take a fresh cup. He picked up one of the used cups from the dustbin, because there's nothing wrong with the cup, but you know, this is our habit, isn't it? We just take one sip of water and we bin the cup. He picked up one of the used cups, he drank it, and then he put it away. You know what these qualities, and this is the reality. Everything that we have learned from our teachers, everything that we are listening to from the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we make an intention to practice upon it, then it becomes part of our lives. But if we just hear, like, you know, what do they say? You know, like nice sounds or something which sounds good to the ears, like music to the ears, but we have no intention to practice, then we can listen to these lessons for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, until we die, but there will be no change in our lives. So inshallah, I do dua that Allah Ta'ala grants me and all of us the ability to bring some of these lessons into our life and these qualities into our life. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallah, bihamdihi, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. You should be doing the talk. You should be doing that study.